The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. Are you blessed for the gift of the Holy Spirit? Just lift your hands. Just thank God for the gift of His Holy Spirit. Just thank Him. Mean it now. Thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank Him for the gift of the Spirit. Thank Him for the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you the Holy Spirit. Allos Paracletos, I will send you another comforter. Another of the same kind. That's what it means. Another comforter. Just bless His name. All over us, please. Take 1 minute and bless His name a minute. Bless His name. Bless His name. Bless His name. Oh, Shabarande le pregete corrupete le pregete. Oh, prende le prengato le prende la pronda shakataya. Oh, zimpre de le progede le prende karatoyas. Oh, lanti cromba de jambra de. Ezu pregete le proga de chambra de la pragatianda. Lord Jesus,
it first of 1,000 to my soul.
Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you. We open our hearts to your word. Holy Spirit, as we talk about you this morning, we ask for a mighty, mighty move of your spirit of you in this place. In the name of Jesus, we ask that there will be, answers. Impartations, fire in our hearts, experiences that will not leave us the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Do you have an amen in your lips this morning? Amen. Glory to God. Now look up to three persons. Say something to them that will wake them up this morning. Three persons. Say something that will wake them up. Don't say wake up. Something that will make them smile. Something that will make them liven up. Something that will make them liven up. That will bring smiles to your face this morning. Let God use you for somebody this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You might be seated. Glory to God. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Do you love the anointing? Glory to God. Have you ever felt the anointing? Have you ever felt the anointing? Like, for real, the anointing can be felt. That's what it's called, the tangibility of the anointing. I don't know if we're going to get there in this series, but there is such a thing as the tangibility of the anointing. Some people call it the manifest presence. I get to the point where there is that expression. But then, the anointing is so beautiful. And we're talking about the anointing of the Holy Ghost in this series. Are you excited about that? So we've said a few things already. But I'll just start from somewhere. I will not try to do every recap. I'll just start from somewhere that will lay a foundation for us to launch this morning. There are three classifications we give to the anointing. Remember, the anointing is the Holy Spirit. Remember that? The anointing is the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So what was the anointing upon Jesus? The Holy Ghost. So the anointing is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the anointing. So it would be strange for someone to say, I have the Holy Ghost, but I need the anointing. The Holy Ghost is the anointing. I get what I'm saying. But then, I don't know how, okay, I'm going to get there. Because I wanted to say, it will not be wrong for you to say, I need the anointing for this. But we're going to get to that even today. Are you following me? So the anointing is the Holy Ghost. And I gave you three or four classifications. I keep saying three for a reason. But then, because actually three. But I have to separate it, break it into four so that to ease our understanding. The first I showed you, the believer's anointing. That's the indwelling and the anointing that dwells within. You know, and I showed you that believer's anointing is in everybody. That's the Holy Spirit all of us have. And for like 1 week now, I've been trying to show us what that Holy Spirit can do, what that anointing does. If you understand this anointing within, you know, you would have solved a major problem for yourself in trying to flow in spiritual things. Because the same Holy Ghost I carry is the same Holy Ghost you carry. Same. Believer's anointing. That's the anointing that is responsible for revelation. That's why everybody can have revelation. That's the Spirit responsible for things like fervency. That's why everybody can be fervent. That's the Spirit responsible for leadings. Leadings of the Spirit. That's why everybody can be led by the Spirit. That's the Spirit that births comfort. Are you following me? That's the anointing that heals the sick. This sense shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. That's the anointing that casts out devils. For everyone that believes. I get to the point. In my name shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they pick up any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. If they drink a deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall take up serpents and scorpions. If they lay hands on the sick, it shall be healed. That's the believer's anointing. That's not the anointing on the prophet. That's the anointing on the believer. How do you know that? Didn't you see how we started? These signs shall follow them that believe. So everybody that believes carries this anointing. The Holy Ghost. In fact, if you back up a little to verse 15, he says, go into the world and preach the gospel. This is the anointing that is responsible for, that empowers, responsible for utterance. Let me put it that way. That empowers us to preach. That's why every believer can have utterance. In fact, scratch that. Every believer has utterance. Because of the anointing within. Are you following me? What we are now learning on Thursday is how to grow yourself in the anointing. Remember, I've emphasized again and again, is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is not a thing. It's not a concept. It's not a phenomenon. It's not an object. It's a person. And since it's a person cannot be increased. You can't say I have some of Pastor Henry and I don't have all. If Pastor Henry is either here or he's not here. Do you understand? So everybody that has the anointing, you have the Holy Ghost. That full part of the anointing. However, you need now to learn how to grow yourself with that anointing. What we now mean is how to learn how to use that anointing the more. We're looking at that on Thursday. How to get better with it. How to get better with it. Just like I gave a perfect example on that Thursday. And that's what I want to use again. When you get a phone, there are some powerful phones that you will get. Very powerful. Some of those phones can do more than take calls and send messages. But imagine you are sending a powerful Samsung phone or iPhone or any of those kind of phones to someone in the village who doesn't even know how to browse the internet, who doesn't know how to do many things. So he's just going to carry the phone, send message, make calls, and then that'll be it. But there is much more that phone can do. What he or she now needs to know is how to use the phone better and not how to increase the phone. And not how to increase the capacity of the phone. You must learn how to grow yourself in the anointing. In the believer's anointing. That's in the Holy Ghost. Another way to put it is in the indwelling spirit. Or let me put it in the spirit within. Must know how to exercise and walk more with that spirit within. So that's the first classification. The believer's anointing, the anointing within. The second one is the anointing on ministry gifts. That's why I told you it's actually three. Because if the third one now is the anointing on other ministry responsibilities. But you can call these two now anointing for ministry. I'm glad that's separated. I feel what I'm saying. So there's anointing for ministry. And that anointing for ministry that is now anointing for ministry gifts. Now, hear what I'm going to say. When we're talking about the anointing for ministry gifts or on ministry gifts. Now, somebody is going to ask, is it a different Holy Spirit? No. But I thought you say we have all of him. Yes. How come some people will have a different anointing from others? We'll talk about anointing for ministry. We are talking about the same Holy Ghost we all have. Now empowering some people, specially for certain tasks he has given them. It's not like those people will have more Holy Spirit than other people. It's just that the Holy Ghost, who is vast in his abilities, we now empower some of them differently. We're going to look at that today. Especially from the way he empowers other people. Are you following me? Aha. He might just give them extra. That is, plus the believer's anointing they have. He will now give them some extra things because of the assignment. Do you understand? I gave an example. If someone, for instance, is supposed to go preach, God is sending him to preach in a totally Islamic dominated community. Where if you say Jesus, they will shoot you. If you say Jesus, they will, you know, I get the point. You might find the person flowing in some kind of course, not just the miraculous, but so much more. Because of where the person is, you'll find the person being able to disappear. It's not like any other person cannot do that. It's just because there is a responsibility he has, and God has to empower him especially for that one. I get what I'm talking about here. So when we talk about the anointing of ministry gifts, we are not saying that ministers have a different Holy Ghost from believers. No. We are just saying that because of some assignment, for instance, even though all of us have the Holy Ghost, there are certain abilities of the Holy Ghost that even if you begin to flow in it, you don't need it. If you're not called into the office. I get what I'm saying. Imagine that God, we're going to get to that shortly. Imagine that God wants you to serve in the church and serve maybe in the choir or something. There will really be no need for him to empower you and give you maybe grace to handle marital counseling and marital issues. What are you doing with it? I get the point. But is that grace in the Holy Ghost that you carry? Yes. But you might not find that grace gaining the expression between you because of the calling that is upon your life. I follow what I'm talking about. So there is anointing for ministry. Then the last one I gave you was the corporate anointing. Corporate anointing. That is anointing that is in expression whenever all of us are together. So I want to begin to show you. So we've handled believers' anointing. But let's see if we can narrow down to talk about, you know, anointing for ministry. I've already started explaining it. That is the Holy Ghost empowering you specially. I'll give you some examples in Acts chapter 4. We'll read about Jesus, because it's always good to start with him. Because you notice that Jesus himself on earth did not do anything significant in ministry without the anointing. You say, but Jesus is God. Well, Jesus is God. But when he was on earth, he became man. And as man, he had to walk with the anointing. That's why anything you are going to do for the Lord, you must be anointed for it. Look at Acts 4:27. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, have they gathered all of that. So Peter was talking about the fact that Jesus was anointed. He was anointed. Of course, we've seen Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So how was Jesus able to heal all that were oppressed of the devil? The Holy Ghost anointed him. It was the anointing of the Spirit upon Jesus that enabled him to heal all that were oppressed of the devil and to do all that he did. Are you following me? How was Jesus able to multiply 5 loaves and all of that? There was an anointing for ministry, for that assignment that he carried. He himself, being Jesus, talked about it in Luke 4 and verse 18. He entered the temple and picked up the scroll and began to read. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. So there is anointing for ministry.
Even Jesus had to be anointed. Did you not observe that Jesus didn't get into ministry until, we're going to get to that too, until he went into the wilderness, he fasted, he prayed for 40 days. When he was done with that, he came out, went for the baptism. The Holy Ghost descended on him. After the baptism, he went for the fasting. But the end point that it was that there was an infilling of the Spirit, there was a descending of the Spirit upon him before he stepped out into ministry, as Jesus as he was. That's the anointing for ministry. What I'm saying is, whatever you can ever do for God, whatever you will ever do for God, there is an anointing you need to be able to do it. There's an empowerment you need before you can work for God. If not, the work of ministry will frustrate you without the anointing. It is too much a burden to carry without the anointing. And that's why from today I begin to show you how to release and maximize anointing for ministry actually. Well, there's anointing for ministry. Now, there's a believer's anointing. But you that have decided to serve God, beyond just being a believer, you've decided to serve God in whatever capacity, there's an anointing for that ministry. So, Jesus was anointed for that ministry. You find out all about the scriptures. Why was it that when in Acts chapter 13, when the prophecy came to separate Paul and Barnabas for the work that they've been called on to, they laid hands on them before they sent them forth. They laid hands on them. Because there is an anointing for ministry. Are you following me? In Numbers chapter 11. Numbers 11 and verse 16. Wait for you to get there. Numbers 11 and verse 16. If you have it, say I have it. All of you have it already. Have you just echoed I have it? If you have it, say I have it. Okay. Numbers 11 verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel. Okay. Whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people. And officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of the congregation that they may stand there with me. Now look at this. These guys, we already elders. These guys, we already officers over the people. But look at, they were about to step into something different. So verse 17, and I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take of the spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee. So because they were about to bear the same burden that Moses was bearing, in other words, they were about to step into a leadership role with Moses. God said, I have to take some spirit upon you and put upon them. So they had to be empowered for it. Are you getting the point? Elisha did not step out as Elijah's assistant until he was empowered for it. How did Joshua lead Israel? The anointing. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses the man of God had laid hands on him. You cannot possibly, let me tell you, ministry is overburdening. It only takes the anointing of the spirit to make it possible to carry. I'm not talking about being a pastor. Any ministry, anything you want to do for God. This is part of the reason why people get frustrated with ministry. So this is getting boring. It's getting tiring. Come to church, preach the gospel, do this. That's an anointing that you need. And I'm going to teach you how to engage that anointing actually. Are you following me? How to maximize that anointing. If not, ministry will tire you. Do you understand? You'll be tired. You'll be tired. So look at that. Joshua had to be anointed. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses the man of God had laid hands on him. So there was wisdom upon him because Moses laid hands on him. That what happened? And the children of Israel hearkened unto him. Why? Hands has been laid on him. Are you following me? So you cannot actually stand in any office or do anything for God without his own empowerment. That's what I'm saying. God has to empower you to be able to serve him. If he doesn't empower you, you can't serve him. Are you following me? And that's why I have to follow this teaching to the end so you don't hear what I'm not saying. Amen. You can't do ministry at any level without the anointing. If you write that on your notes, underline any level, at any level. Even if it is What do you think is the lowest thing you can ever do for God? You can't even do this at that level without the anointing. You can't do it at any level. It's not just pastors that need the anointing. It's not just singers that need the anointing. You can't do ministry at any level
without the anointing.
Now, there are different places, because some people say this ministry. Let me just slow down a little to explain something. There are different places where you can serve the Lord, where you can do ministry. There are, and I'm going to classify them majorly into two different places. Those different opportunities for ministry found in God's word. First is what we call the fivefold ministry. The fivefold. Fivefold ministry. Okay, so there is a fivefold ministry. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Bible said he gave some, please open that, very important. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. These are five ministry offices. Everybody please hear what I'm going to say. These ministry offices, these are major ministry offices. Major ministry offices. Now, hear this. These offices are put to lead in the body of Christ majorly. Right? So, for instance, the apostle, you know, is the one that is that kind of calling that breaks ground. There are a lot of things people say about the apostle today, but that's not for today. That breaks new grounds. So sometimes you can see the apostle serving as a missionary in a country where the gospel has not come before. That's why most church planters are apostles. Most church founders are apostles. It's a calling. You see this 5:14 I told you now. You cannot wish yourself into any of them. This one is a calling. I'm trying to show you different places you can serve God. So there are some people you will call to be apostles. To break new ground, start off new jobs, and all of that. So that is the apostolic calling. Are you following me? Then there is the prophet. These are people sent to bring inspiration and guidance by the Spirit. You know, this is not, you know, the prophet is not just about having the gift of word of knowledge or the gift of prophecy. Any believer can have those ones. But apart from having that, the prophet is specially called, you know, to, of course, he's a preacher of the word, but then he brings some sort of inspiration, some sort of guidance through his teachings. Right? That is a calling he carries. That is the evangelist. The evangelist carries a calling. That calling, you know, the evangelist is sent to reach unsaved people. So this is the kind of calling where God empowers people. Someone, even though all of us have to do evangelism, God now empowers some people specially and ordains them specially to go reach the lost. So you might see them, you are trying to reach the lost in your environment and all of that. Evangelist now carries a calling. Sometimes he's traveling all over the place, doing crusades, going from village to village. That's a calling. Are you following what I'm talking about? That's a calling. Then there is the pastor. There is the pastor. Are you here? The pastor is the shepherd. The shepherd. He's the one that gathers the flock, that leads the flock, that stays with the flock, that feeds the flock. So look at what I'm trying to show you. The apostle is the one who breaks new ground, starts new works, and all of that. Most times they carry a pioneering grace. That is the evangelist, the prophet who serves to, you know, alongside the apostle. Sometimes they stand in offices where they can bring guidance, bring direction, and all of that. That is the evangelist who is out there bringing in souls and all of that. That's his assignment. That is the pastor who stays with the flock. And people say, and I agree, that the job of a pastor is actually a teacher. So we call this fivefold. Some people say it's fourfold. I know that argument, but I say fivefold because that's what is generally accepted in the body of Christ. I get to the point. But the teacher is the one that teaches. So most times people say the pastor is the teacher. And they have a reason why they say that. So easiest way to remember this thing I explained to you, I gave you now, is using your five fingers. Do like this.
Not like waka, like this. Do you understand? Uh-huh. So we call this the apostle.
Why?
Why is he the apostle? Is what? It's short. He can beat all the other hand.
Now, what I'm trying to show you is this. No ministry is bigger than others. But this apostle now, because most times he's the groundbreaker, he's the one that starts new work, he is able to function at different times in all these other offices. Because if you plant a church, you will pastor it. To plant a church, for instance, you have to be an evangelist. It takes the evangelical to plant churches. Sometimes you have to stand as a prophet. So we like using this one for the apostle because it can freely touch all the other fingers without stress. Try it with any other finger. You have to really struggle. Do you understand? This is man's wisdom. But then he's explaining Bible. Is that okay? So he touches all this one without stress. The apostle. This is the prophet. Because it's the finger you use for warning people. You cannot forget this after this teaching. Without prophets, you know how they are. Do you understand? This one, the evangelist. We call him the evangelist because he's the tallest of them all. Most times, the evangelist is the one that is most able to reach places that other ministry gives will not reach. In terms of spread, in terms of traveling. Do you get the point? In terms of traveling, the evangelist can actually work this one. So we say, because of the height, we say, let's get on. Then there is this one, the pastor. Why do you think he's a pastor? Huh? Commitment. Actually, you are actually correct. You are joking with me, but you're actually correct. Is the wedding finger and is the finger of commitment. So the pastor is that one that, you know, that stays, that is just with people doing plenty things with them. That's the apostle, that's the pastor, then there's this one, the teacher. Not the smallest of the calling, no, but it's called the teacher because people say that's the finger that can get into your ear the most. And that's actually true. Because no ministry drives the word of God into people's ear like the ministry of the teacher. And actually, you see, these things are just different. The apostle is starting, the prophet is warning. You see, the teacher, if a teacher stands in his office and breaks God's word down to you, even if you are deaf, you will hear it. But if you bring an evangelist may know the word, but he doesn't have that time. So that's, I tell you all this. Are you guys ready for the fire? That's the evangelist. Just fire. And he's not even so interested in fire. He just wants you to take him to where sinners are. And when you meet sinners, you don't have too much Greek to tell them. It's just Jesus saves. That's the anointing. That's the apostle. That'd be the evangelist rather. Now, what I'm trying to show you is, if you are going to function in any of these five offices, there is a special anointing you must carry for each of them. I give an example. If you are the apostle, to get into a new ground, there is a groundbreaking anointing. There is a church planting anointing that you must carry as an apostle. I'll give you some examples. As a church planting anointing that you must carry. Paul was the apostle sent to the Gentiles. And you could see the anointing was very evident upon his life, such that he would get into some places, people would begin to gravitate towards him. Some places that people like James struggled to do things. Even Peter struggled to do ministry among the Gentiles. But Paul, because he was sent to them, he would get there, they would gravitate towards him. Actually, Paul, the Gentiles shouldn't like Paul. Why? He's a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee. He was a pure Jew. I know what I'm talking about. But because of that anointing he carried for the Gentiles, the apostolic grace upon his life withdrew the Gentiles. One man started churches in different countries. Rome, Corinth, Ephesus, Galatia, the same man, place to place, is the groundbreaking anointing. Some places where Christianity has never stepped on before, Paul will enter there. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That is not about being smart. See, imagine someone called to be an apostle and he has not learned how to walk in the anointing of the apostle. And you get started to do ministry. You are going to fail. Again, that's why you need this teaching. Because there are some of you here that carry fivefold ministry callings. Not everybody stands in this office. That's what I want to correct. Not everybody. I know there is this fight of every believer has a calling. I agree with that totally, and I'm coming to that. But not everybody stands is a fivefold minister. Not everybody is. When I got born again, I used to say to people, once you are born again, there is something God has, you have been called to either be an apostle, a prophet. It's not totally correct. You can't even find that in the Bible. He said, how do you know that? Read your Bible. He gave some apostles. Not everybody. I get to the point. You know, because I'm saying this because in so many instances, I'm going to address this matter more seriously. There's a deception in the body of Christ where everybody is trying to stand on it. Everybody is trying to be seen. Even when we are now serving in the church, we are serving in the church as a ticket to being seen. So, you know, when you serve, the Lord will promote you. And what is that promotion? He will now make you an apostle. But it's not true. Not everybody has that calling. You can't serve your way into fivefold ministry. If you don't have the call, you don't have the call. You can be trained to serve as a pastor. An evangelist can carry you and train you. You begin to work as an evangelist under him. But you can't be called. You can't train yourself into calling. Do you know what I'm saying? It is a calling. But there's an anointing for it when you have that calling. The prophet, for instance, is anointed to stand in the prophetic. For instance, there is something that characterized. Go back to the apostle. Something that characterizes the anointing of an apostle, for instance, is that you will see incredible signs and wonders following him. Because we are talking about groundbreaking anointing. And you will find him almost sometimes functioning as an apostle. Sometimes you find him, he stands as a prophet. So, you see some of those ministers, when you are looking at their life, you are trying to find which one is he called into. It's the anointing. Are you following me? It's the anointing. There is a prophet, that one. One of the anointing that you will find in the life of a prophet, every believer has this, but it's more intensified in their lives. Visions. Yes, visions. You will see a prophet at a very early age, before he even knows Jack about the Bible. He can see, that's the anointing. It's for his office. So there is visions, there is word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all of that. You find it at the heightened state with the apostle, with the prophet. Are you following me? Because even though the prophet teaches, most of his teachings will carry inspirational moments. And moments where people are warned, they are directed, they are edified, they are comforted, they are strengthened, different of those things in that teaching. Then there is the evangelist, who is the soul winner. The evangelist, one anointing that accompanies the evangelist is unmatched utterance to minister to sinners. The evangelist, you know, you look at Real Bunky, for instance. You know what Real Bunky preaches from, you know, most of the crusades? The woman caught in adultery. Almost every crusade. And sinners are getting saved. Sometimes in some meetings, a million sinners. He will preach it and sort of wonder what is he saying. And Jesus said, if you are without sin, cast the first stone. And what do you echo? It beats those meetings. People are coming in their numbers. The anointing, you can't deny it. Because they're wondering, what is this man even saying? The anointing of the evangelist. The man is an evangelist to the core, to his bones. I get to the point. To his bones. If you want to, one of the people you look at, you want to understand the evangelistic calling, look at Real Bunky. And you find miracles following them. Why will miracles follow? They will go wide to different places. You will find there will be the miraculous. The miraculous. Because the evangelist gathers crowd.
That's one thing about it. There is a crowd gathering anointing around the evangelist.
That's why if an evangelist becomes a pastor, he will pull crowd, but he will scatter them.
That's what I tell you now.
He will gather the crowd and scatter, because he has that thing that can pull the crowd. He doesn't have the patience to stay with those people. He is sometimes he's concerned about seeing the same faces for a very long time. Why are there no new people coming here? Why is it you came again? They don't understand it. That's the evangelist. He just wants to be all over the place, seeing new people, preaching to new sinners, and all of that. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's his calling. If the Lord will ever want him to pastor for any reason, he needs to get the training of a pastor.
I get the point. Uh-huh. Because if you gather the people and pursue them, is because
so to start with, he may not even be able to stay with them. If he tries to stay with them, that anointing will react, because the anointing wants to see sin as saved.
I get what I'm saying.
So he just wants to get out of that. He doesn't understand why I'm just here. And you find someone doing ministry, pastor in your church is growing, but he's losing his peace. Why is he losing his peace? He doesn't understand what he's doing inside this hall. One day he's just going to get into the hall and start watching him and say, "What? Who are all these people? Who are all these people?" He doesn't understand what people are doing.
It's the anointing. Then there is the pastor.
The pastor is the one that carries. You see the pastoral and the apostolic. The pastoral carries a shepherding role, a shepherding assignment. That pastor is the one that stays with the flock the more. Let me tell you, in all these ministry gifts, I believe, there will be more pastors than every other ministry gift.
I get the point.
There will be more pastors. That is not God discriminating. Let me tell you why there will be more pastors. It can take one apostle to break into a community and shake up, plant churches and all of that. It can take one evangelist to get 10 million people saved.
Are you aware?
One message. Just give an evangelist audience. Let 10 million people give him audience. He will get them saved. At least 8 million. But one pastor cannot pastor 100 people.
Are you aware of this when I said?
Huh? Yes, but we are more than 100.
Leave the matter.
One pastor cannot pastor 100 people. Do you know what it means to pastor 100 people? To teach them. This one is the least. To be there for them. Care for them. Know what's happening in their life. Be there for them. Walk with them step by step. One person cannot do that. That's why even in this church, as big or small as you think we are, I'm working with how many pastors? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pastors with over 10 ministers under them. Then under the 10 ministers, other leaders under them. All of them are doing pastoral responsibilities.
I get what I'm talking about.
So that was why there will actually be more pastors than other ministry offices. Because this one demands staying.
I get what I'm saying. It demands staying, loving, caring, staying.
A pastor stays with the flock for life. Now, that one now, we need a special grace for it. Because to stay with the same faces for life. Don't you sometimes get bored of seeing your siblings? Except maybe if you don't live with them. So they live there, they say, "Ah, who are these people?" That's why you just want to. Don't you sometimes wake up and you want a new environment? Just to step out and go and see. It's not like there's a problem, just to get fresh air. These people are suffocating you. But you know, the pastor has that grace where he sits. I know pastors. A pastor said he has never left his church on a Sunday or on a Wednesday for over 30 years. Imagine that. And he's not even complete. He's happy. He's not sitting there. The evangelist believes this man is mad. He will not just tell him, but he's like, what are you doing here? You're just sitting down here. It's the anointing. Because he knows how to care. He knows how to bind the wounds. He knows how to carry people. You know, marriages scatter. He knows how to sit down with them. What is wrong with your marriage? Let us solve it. Now, if an evangelist tries to sort your marriage out, I'm not saying he can. No, just sort your marriage out, and you are giving him tough time. You say, you know, maybe apostle wants to sort your marriage. Apostles are grace for that anyway. But even when you see Apostle Paul talk, you know, the man is a non-nonsense man. He said, I want you to stay as I am. And as I am is that you should not marry. You can imagine that. And the pastor just stays with the flock, believing, asking questions. What if the pastor has grace to walk you from when you were in primary school with your hands, take you till when you are married, you get married, he weds you, you trace your children, he's with you, your children begin to get married, he weds your children. He's just there. So it's the most boring office without the anointing. I get what I'm saying. It's the most boring. But when the anointing is there, there is a grace upon the pastor that many other offices cannot carry. That shepherding grace, that teaching thing. The pastor of all the ministries is the one that teaches the most. That's why people believe the pastor is the teacher. He said, but other people can teach. Other people can teach. Well, you got an evangelist, an apostle, prophet, everybody can teach. But you know, when the pastor is in his office, he teaches everything. He will teach you how to eat. And not spiritual food, physical food. The right way to eat. Why is the pastor teaching how to eat? He has looked at his church and found out that people are dying of malnutrition. I get to the point. It's just the pastor. And next Sunday, he said, I'm starting a series on food and these benefits. That's why when you see a pastor that has pastored for a very long time and you go to their site, there is nothing that has not taught on. I get to the point. Let me give you an example. There are messages that some pastors say that can make it to their website because they're embarrassing, but they have them. You get the point? The pastors have taught sexual intercourse in marriage, how to have sex in marriage. You see, close your ear. A pastor has to teach it because he has been in his office. 4 or 5 cases have come. Marriages are scattered because of this, so he has a new teaching. That's the anointing of the pastor. He's the one that stays to see that you grow. The apostle, you know, some of these prophets and what have you, might just be interested in your prayer life stepping up. Don't let some people talk and just say you shouldn't be a pastor. I hear someone say, every time I pray out, carry fire, pray out. If you don't, and that's the only thing, morning, tonight, but they say you shouldn't be a pastor. A pastor cannot come to you and be shouting, pray everything. You need to pray. If you are not praying, pray. If you are not praying, we are doing 13 hours. That pastor cannot do that thing. If he does it, he will have prayer giants who have many problems. Not even spiritual problems. Some of them will be smelling because they don't know how to use roll-on. A pastor will teach you that you have to be clean. I got what I'm saying. A pastor is just that shepherd. So imagine a pastor like me now. That I'm dying. Pray. You are not praying. Pray. Next, so the mysteries of prayer. The 7 ascensions of prayer. The new. And I'm there every day. I do that for 6 months, 1 year. You will be praying. Your prayer life will be okay. Many other things will be wrong with you. You'll be failing your exam to start with. You might be broke. Prayer giant is broke. I get what I'm saying. That is why, except there is an apostle called to start a work, right? Even that apostle, I'm coming to that matter. Every believer should be under a pastor. If you read Brother Egg's book, he will tell you it is the pastor that shepherd. That's why even Brother Egg himself, he was called as a prophet actually, but he was under a pastor. At the time of the writing, his son, biological son, was the pastor of Rema Bible Church, but he was a member of that church. Are you what I'm talking about? Because it's not about, are you saying the pastor is better than the prophet? No. He's the one that shepherds. I get to the point. He's the one that will shepherd. That's the pastoral office. And there is the teacher, which I believe is also the pastor. That one, they have grace to teach. They can teach anything. Imagine the series I did for you last month. How to respond to God's word. I even taught you how to fall under anointing. You didn't observe. That's not the topic I gave you to.
how to receive impartation.
But last I taught how to follow. The pastor can teach you anything. I taught you how to take notes. The right way to jot in church. That is the office of the pastor. That is why, when I get to the end of the teaching, I'm going to show you. Because one thing I want to address today actually is the fact that one of the ways to maximize the anointing of God upon your life, I will say it now, but I will explain it when I'll be rounding up, is to stay in your place. That's one of the easiest ways to maximize the anointing upon your life. To stay in your place. I'll get in there. So this is the fivefold ministry. Right? That's one of the ways you can serve God. But then, all of us are not going to be called to the fivefold ministry. So people that are not called to fivefold ministry, what do they have to do? Will they be able to serve God and all of that? Now, there are now other ministry responsibilities. Are you following me? Somebody is going to say, okay, the fivefold is the serious thing. A lot of people are just mejuokundia. That's not what I'm saying. There are other ministry assignments that is not part of the fivefold, but there are also ministry assignments. You find that a lot in the Bible. For instance, Romans chapter 12. Is someone getting blessed? Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me. Now, this statement alone is still talking about calling. I say through the grace given unto me. Paul was speaking from his office. When I was this thing I'm saying, not all of you can say it. But through the grace given unto me, I say. Is someone following what I'm saying? Now, he said, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, he began to list the different things that you can do. Whether prophecy, those are prophecy according to faith. Verse 7. Or ministry. Give me NLT. If your gift is serving others, serve. So there are people that could have an assignment to serve. That's a ministry assignment. If you're a teacher, teach well. There are people that could be called to teach. There are people that may not even be standing in the office of a teacher, as it were, but they can teach in the body of Christ. And we can deploy them to teach in different places. That's also a ministry assignment. Continue. If your gift is to encourage others, sir, is encouragement also ministry assignment? Yes. So it can be grace to be encouragers. So apart from the fivefold, there are different other things that God could have you do for him in his body. He said, if it is giving, give generously. So even giving that all of us have to do, there are some people that can be specially graced to give. If God has given you leadership ability, so that is leadership ability. Are you following what I'm saying at all? Now, what we are trying to say is there are other assignments. There is ministry of helps, for instance. Anything apart from the fivefold ministry, there are many other places you can serve God. People in the choir now are serving God in ministry. People in the ushering team are serving God. People that are greeters are serving God. They may not be called to stand in the fivefold, to become an apostle or whatever, but they are serving God. That also is a ministry responsibility. That also needs the anointing to do it. That's what I'm trying to say. The fact that it is not apostle, prophet or whatever, does not mean you can even attempt to have the anointing. So what is that in carrying camera? We can carry camera. If once you can snap. Not exactly. If you are going, that's why ministry is tiring. You get, if I even say this to you, once you begin to serve God, do ministry, and you want to do it with the arm of the flesh, you will get tired. Not only will you get tired, you will not do it well. Not only will you not do it well, you become an easy prey for the devil. You know what I'm saying? You become an easy prey for the devil. Because once you get into ministry office, Satan, once you begin to serve the Lord, Satan begins to see you as a threat already. Are you following what I'm saying now? Because you see as a threat already. And so you cannot afford to do it without the anointing. Think of the guy that is supposed to sing. That's an anointing you need to carry to be able to sing. Are you getting me? Singing is not part of the fivefold ministry. I hope you know that. I hope you know that. I want to reemphasize that. Singing, abroad of fivefold ministry. The way we've done this, what are the fivefold ministry? In our world today, the first one should be singing, then apostle. Because singers have even risen and they've placed themselves side by side with pastors, side by side with apostles. That's not correct, too. When God comes, he will judge you. But let's leave it. That's not correct. I get the point. That's not correct. But then, singing is an assignment God can give. Get check the Old Testament. The Levites, you are asked to sing. But even to do that, there's an anointing you need for it. Ushering is not fivefold ministry. But hey, you need to be anointed to be an usher. And the anointing of God upon the usher is not the same as the anointing of God upon the choir. That is why, let me say this to you. You see this ministry system. Don't look down on any assignment thinking you can do it. Without the anointing, it's not just like somebody in the choir might be looking at people in the media team. So what are they doing in choir? It's not just carry camera, snap. Or... Now, when we move you to that place, and you spend the first 3 months there, you are the one that will come and say, these media people are trying, you know. Because you can't actually do that, the anointing. He said, what is the information desk? What do they do? Nothing, then from just sit down the right name. I can do it. Well, until you get there. That's why there is no ministry thing that God gives you to do that you can actually do without the help of the Spirit. That's what I'm saying. You need to be Spirit empowered to minister anywhere. I gave an example last week. I'll give it again. Exodus 31. Exodus 31. Hallelujah. Exodus 31 and verse 1. If you have it, say, I have it. Are you that fast in opening your Bible? If you have it, say, I have it. Not on the screen, no. If you have it, your Bible, say, I have it. Okay. Glory to God. Do you love to open your Bible? Is it entering your body now? Small, small. Huh? So I don't have Bible yet. Go and buy. Do you understand? Hard copy. Carry it. Don't come to church. Carry it. Everybody say, I carry Bible. Buy the big one too, if you can. Say amen. Amen. So, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Filled him with the Spirit of God. And you would have thought that he's saying that this man is going to take ministry all over the world. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding, in knowledge and all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, in cutting of stones. So God anointed him to be able to work, to cut stones and cut silver. Go back to verse 3. Give me NLT. Let's read together NLT. What is on the screen? Are you ready? Let's go together. I filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. Verse 4. He's a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He's skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving woods. He's a master at every craft. So he anointed him to be able to carve woods. Mix whatever, you know, carve woods and mount gemstones. Why do you have to anoint someone to be able to carve wood? This guy was already an expert in this. But then he was not about to do it for the tabernacle they were about to build. God said, I've anointed, I've put my Spirit upon him for it. So what God was trying to say is, even though he's an expert naturally, to be able to walk in the tabernacle, he needs a special anointing to be able to do it. I get what I'm saying. Even though you know how to carry camera and snap, you need to be anointed of God to snap picture in the church. Even though you've been sweeping your house forever since you were born, you need to be anointed of God to be able to sweep in church. So if I'm not anointed and I sweep, what will happen? I don't know what will happen to you. But you need to be anointed. I know what I'm saying. I've seen people, and that's one of the most disastrous things I've ever seen, trying to stand where God did not put them. Because they think it's easy. You will get into trouble. You will get into trouble. Even in this church, I have even, now this man was already skilled. I have picked people who have no knowledge of certain things and put them in that department, and with time they will learn it and catch up. Why do you think it's easy for them? The anointing upon that office. There are some of you that you can't even snap, you can't even touch system in your life. Who say, I'm not with this department. See, once we do that, the anointing for that place comes. You begin to pick up things very quickly. Are you following what I'm saying? So there is anointing to serve in every ministry thing. So this man was meant to serve. Amen. Give me, go to the next verse, verse 6. Because it's not only Bezaleel, there's another person that was giving that. And I've personally, this is God talking, I've personally appointed Oholiab, son of Ahishamak, of the tribe of Dan, to be his assistant. So that is, God can personally appoint someone to be an assistant. Did you hear what I said now? So it's not everybody that God calls that should be that should lead. I've personally appointed to be an assistant. Think about that. So what can personally appoint someone to assist and then anoint him? I get the point. He said, moreover, I have given special skill. I have given, God is talking, to all the gifted craftsmen. How come he said they are gifted craftsmen, but he said you've given a special skill? Because there is gifting in the natural. There is the enablement of the spirit. I get the point. So not everybody can construct and work on the tabernacle. It's not about skill. Again, the choir will now find out why I normally say, if someone is not in the choir, let him not go and play instrument for us here. It's not because we are discriminating. It's not because we are saying you are better than them. It's just because they are not anointed to serve us here. I get what I'm saying. They are not. And that's the same with every other department. That's why if someone joins this church and you are very good, in fact, before you joined, you are a renowned cameraman in the world. We are not going to give you our camera to handle until we specially put you there to go and serve where you've completed the processes. Because that is only when the anointing for that office will come upon you. If not, it will frustrate you. I got my point. It will overburden you. You are doing something without pay. And you are supposed to do it joyfully. Without complaining. Think about that. I got what I'm saying. And again I said, if you serve without the anointing, you make yourself a casualty. You become an easy prey for the devil. You know, some of you think the devil knows everything and knows everybody. He doesn't. Now, this thing I'm going to say is not to scare you. He doesn't know everything. He doesn't know everybody. He doesn't know everything going on everywhere. I hope you know that. Satan is not omnipresent. That's what many people think. People describe the devil as omnipresent. He doesn't know everything. Only God is omnipresent. Only God is everywhere. Only God is omniscient. He's the only one that knows everything. God, Satan is not omniscient. Do you understand? Okay, you don't understand. Okay, Satan is not omniscience. Omni what? But you know that's not how to pronounce it. That's not even how to spell it. You know, I was singing those days. Omnipotent God. Omniscience God. But that is all like, doesn't know everybody, doesn't know everything. Demons, all the demons in the world don't know everything. So let me see what I'm trying to say. There are demons that don't know that you exist. Now that's just the truth. There are demons that don't know that I exist. Now, by the time you expose yourself where God did not put you, and they will know you exist. It's not like we are afraid of devils. But you begin to fight, you will not lose, but you begin to fight unnecessary battles you shouldn't fight. That's what I'm trying to say. Unnecessary battles. Imagine, and let me tell you, that the anointing for ministry preserves the called man. Now, there is a preservation upon my life because of the anointing I carry. If I step out of that anointing, I have a few battles to fight. Maybe I just go and maybe God did not send me. I said, now I want to start doing crusade. Because others are doing crusade. I think I can do crusade. It's not to just say the sick and raise them. What is there? To gather people and preach. What is there? We are organizing crusade as I start traveling up and down. There is no preservation. Apart from the fact that you have believer's authority, you can pray, bind devil. That one day, you'll be winning. But you'll just be fighting unnecessary battles. When there's anointing for me, that is ease. That is easy. And that's why, you know, have you observed that sometimes when people stand in their office and they are working, you are pitying them from where you are standing and they are fine. So if you just see me, the way I do the things I do, say, Pastor has been preaching for the past 6 days. And you are the one pitying me. You are the one, because you are imagining how you will be feeling if it was you. But I'm fine. Because, and I tell you under God, I don't find this stressful. I don't find it stressful. In fact, even if I am stressed normally, like I was on Friday when we had our young professional stuff, and I left the house since morning. We've gone to many, many places. I came back stressed. By the time we got down here, I was just in the car. In fact, I even slept. I think I slept off in the car self while I was very tired. But then I came into this place and collected the mic. You guys are begging me to round up. I don't find this stressful at all. He says, I'm lying down there tired. If somebody comes in and says, Daddy, I want to share something with you, the anointing just comes. It rises. And the tiredness goes away. I have counseled, and I kid you not once, not twice, not three, I have counseled people from night until morning. From like 10 p.m. till 7 a.m. in the morning, sitting down and listening to their problem. I did find it boring. It was very sweet. And some of you have witnessed me do that. For instance, some of you that were in that I came to your secondary schools those days, I could finish doing meeting with you guys around 2 or 3, and I would stay up counseling people till 7 or 8 in the morning, and you guys would see me off to the gate, and I would go home. I don't find it stressful. Now you try to do that. Like you try to do that without the anointing. What doesn't share their problem? Share their problem. They say, ah, what? Am I the one that killed your father? Just all of you write your problem in, write it on the board. I say, you are blessed in Jesus' name. You know, there's an anointing to listening to problem. That's why the Bible says there are people that are encouragers. They are not pastors, they are encouragers. They are anointed to listen to your problem. Because listening is even hard. If it's not hard, why are you tired? I've been talking, you're tired. Listening is hard. But so that, for example, somebody is not called to be a pastor, but an encourager. He can sit down and listen. When you are done, he says 3 or 4 words, and you go there rejoicing. You leave that place rejoicing. It's the anointing of the Spirit. You can't do that just like that. I believe that ushers, for instance, greeters, should actually trust God for this grace to be able to encourage people. Sometimes you don't need to say much. You don't even know what they're passing through. But by the Spirit, you can shake their hands and say things to them that will go right into their spirit and change their lives. And anointing does that. Hallelujah. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. There is nothing that He asks you to do that He will not empower you to do. And let me even show you. Because everybody in the Bible, everybody in the Bible that ever did anything for God. Whether it's ministry of helps, whether it's administration, they were graced for it. Even among the ministers, different graces. You look at the people that serve in our administrative team. If you are not graced for that, administration is a very boring place to be. That you see them, they're talking papers, they're talking record, they're talking finance, they're talking this. You say, what is all this? What is a grace? I get the point. If you've worked in an admin of any firm, you know that administration is a big deal. They're talking records. They're trying to trace who are the first timers that came. Who are the second? Well, how many people have come two, three times? You wonder what is wrong with all of you? People in the membership team, people in the welfare team, all of these are graces. 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 You must be graced for it. Have you not seen women that will tell you that since they were 20 or so, they've been coming here to watch this church every Saturday, and now they are 89 and they come here every Saturday? Even you cannot be that consistent. Nobody is paying them. They just, because sometimes they come, they're the only ones. Well, this one is in the village. Have you not seen such things? They just come, they carry their broom, wash it peacefully, go home, no complaint. God graces. Are you following me, friends? God graces us. The major way to begin, I'll just talk about that today when we close, to begin to operate and function in the anointing of God upon you for ministry is to first be rightly placed and to serve them. Find your place and serve them. Without prayer, I'll come to prayer later, but without prayer and many things, just finding your place and serving them, that's already something working upon your life. I get what I'm saying? I mean, before we talk about prayer and other things, just finding your place and serving, the anointing makes for ease. Once you step into your place, there is a grace that comes upon you. Yes. And that's why you must find your place. How do you find your place in ministry? It's very simple. If your calling is in the fivefold, for instance, the Lord will bring it to your notice when you are praying. I normally tell people, don't go and start praying and saying, Father, where do you want me to serve? I don't do that. Most times when you begin to do that, you're going to open your ear to familiar spirits or maybe your own ambition. So what do I tell people to do? Just have a prayer life. If you have a calling in the fivefold ministry, in the course of a prayer, God will bring it to your notice. And when he brings it to your notice, the elders in the church, your leaders will confirm it. That's how it actually works. I get what I'm saying? So where did you find that from? Well, I'm going to have time to read all of that scripture. How many of you know that before, in Acts 13, 1 to 3, a word came, said unto me, Paul and Barnabas. Right? But do you know that that was not when Paul knew that he was going to go to the Gentiles? He has always known. That Acts 13 was their confirmation. If you read Acts 26, when Paul was narrating before Agrippa, Acts 26 from verse 12 down, he was narrating to Agrippa about his assignment, about the encounter he had with Damascus. Just go down verse 13, quickly, I don't have time again. Okay, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and then we journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I had a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul. Now, if you read the account in Acts 9, you don't have all these details, but Saul gave further details of what happened on that day. Why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, okay? And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Watch this, everybody. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of this which thou hast seen and of this which I will appear unto thee. Verse 17. To delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom I now send thee. When did God tell him this? The first day he got saved. Acts 9. Are you following me? It took some years, then Acts 13, that calling was now confirmed by the elders. Are you getting what I'm talking about? That's how it works. So if it's a five-fold ministry, you don't need to bother your health. God is going to tell you. When he tells you, his men will confirm it, and you step into your office. If it is not a five-fold ministry, or if you don't know what it is yet, I tell you the simplest thing to do. Wherever you are sent, whatever you are sent to do in the body of Christ, in the church, settle down, do it. That don't bother yourself, how do I find my place? You're already in a church. Settle there. Once they put you there, the grace for that place comes upon you. You will see some kind of manifestation that you've never seen. Are you guys what I'm saying? Acts chapter 6. There was a problem. Because sometimes some things God will give you to do will come because there is a problem. There's a problem in the church. Right? People were complaining that they were sharing food every Sunday those days. A particular group felt like they were being cheated when food was being shared. And the apostles said, let us solve this problem once and for all. They decided to raise 7 men and anoint and appointed to share food. Are you following me? So, will you call this a 5-fold ministry calling? No. It's what I'm talking about. What was the thing? To share food. Just like we are planning a meeting, we're planning Thanksgiving, and we're going to cook. We're planning, so we say, it's away this year. I'm not saying, I'm giving an example. It's away this year, we want to share food with everybody. After every session, we'll share food. After every session, we'll share food. Okay, so imagine that. Just imagine it. Bask in the imagination. It will not happen. Just imagine it. We now say, for proper order, let's pick 7 people that are being in charge of it. That's what they did here. So you won't. They were not called to be apostles or prophets. But look at what the apostles did. They laid hands on them in verse 6. They picked them and laid hands on them. Now, of course, by that, why did they lay hands on them? I think what is there is not just to share food. Once you have sense, you can share food. No, there's an anointing to share food in the church. Are you following me? Do you know what that anointing produced? Not only did it empower them to be able to share the food very well. By the time you get to verse 8, Stephen, a man full of faith and power, did great wonders. Anointed to share food, but did great wonders. There are some graces you'll find in your life when you step into your place. When you step into any place God has called you, there are some things that begin to manifest in your life. After Stephen did his own, they killed. He was Stephen preached so much, did so much miracles that he became a threat. It wasn't Peter that was a threat. It wasn't John. It wasn't James. It was Stephen. A man, not in the fivefold, but in his place. In his place as a food share. That's why I normally say to people, you don't actually need to be a prophet or cult, whatever, to do wonders in the body of Christ. Once you find your place, there's an anointing that follows you. That beyond being able to walk in the wisdom of God to share that food well, you're going to do great wonders. See, he was so powerful. He preached them. Do you know that? Do you know it was Stephen that got Paul born again? Are you aware? Praise God. Where did Saul first hear the message of the gospel from? Stephen. In this case, when Paul met Jesus, he called him Lord. He has known him. Someone has told him about God, about Jesus. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." By the time Ananias arrived at his house, and he has heard the message. Because Saul was there when Stephen preached so much in Acts 7. The Bible said his face was glowing. A man in his place. A man in his place. His face was glowing. Now the message Stephen preached pricked the hearts of the people. Saul did not consent to the message immediately. But that thing was haunting him. And by the time he got to Acts chapter 9, the light hit him. When the light hit him, he has seen that light before. He saw it in the face of Stephen. So when that light hit him, he said, "Who are you, Lord? Because I've seen this light before. I know this light. I know this light. I know this light." Because he said, "Who are you, Lord?" I said, "I am Jesus." He said, "What do I do?" You can imagine a man getting born again from the first day, saying, What do I do? He said, "Go into the city. He will show you what must be done." You see, Ananias, I'm trying to show you that the man was just in his place. after Stephen, you meet Philip in Acts chapter 8. The same man appointed to share food. He went to Samaria, food sharer. That impartation changed the life of these guys. He went to Samaria, took Samaria, shook up Samaria. You can tell. Hear what I'm going to say. You can tell that Stephen, Philip rather, was very inexperienced in ministry. To an extent, he couldn't even minister the Holy Ghost to them. I know what I'm talking about. They had to send for Peter and John. You could tell he did. He couldn't even lay hands to say, receive fire. He couldn't even do it. But as an impression in Acts that he carried that place, demons were flying out of men. Lepers were being healed. City was shaking. A man in his place. May not be called to be an evangelist. May not be called to be anything. But he was just anointed for it. Because again, we did not hear. The next time we hear about Philip in this book of Acts was where he raised his four daughters to become prophetesses. He had four daughters. He raised four of them to become prophetesses. There are graces, oh. There are graces. Whenever I read that, I say, me too, Lord. A man gave birth to four children, raised all of them to stand as prophetesses. And that I'm telling you, God can grace for different things. Find your place and just be there. Find your place. Be there. Before we talk about other things that will help you grow in the anointing in your calling, once you are in your place and you are serving in your place, we say you should just be controlling cars. You are serving there. You will go for soul winning. You begin with some kind of strange graces because you are serving in your place. Your grace is in your place, sir. Yeah, it's not just rhymes. It's the truth. Your grace is in your place. Your grace is in your place. That is why one man that will never do well with the anointing of the Holy Ghost is the man who is not serving. Who's not serving anywhere in the house of God. You say, but why won't God give me? What will he anoint you for? You're not doing anything. When you respond to wherever you are sent, the anointing manifests. When you respond to wherever you are sent, when you respond to wherever you are sent. Wherever you are sent. So we say stay in the technical. Just be there. And if you are there, you are beginning to walk. You've started walking into some manifestations, some graces, some abilities that you're not even aware, just because you accepted to stay in your place. I can tell you the truth. I pray, I fast. But there are many things I do that I know. It's not all those things that's making it happen. One of the things that God empowers me, that empowered me, empowered many pastors with, and I thought God I have it, is to recognize the grace upon people. And I can do it. And in this journey, it has been very, very interesting because you see some people, like among you now, I know some of you, for instance, that carry special evangelistic graces. I know it. If there is a sinner down the road, they say he cannot be sent. I know who I will send from here, the person who can get the job done. But then when you are not just in your place, those things will not gain expression. I get what I'm saying. When you find your place, some graces will begin to manifest. There are other factors we will look at later. There are things like being faithful. There are things like prayer. There are things like impartation. But just stepping into your place first. I get what I'm saying. Because once God sends you, he empowers you. Once you begin to do what he sent you to do, you begin to enjoy the empowerment. Remember again, it is the same Holy Ghost inside all of us. But then, I asked Minister Emmanuel, take charge of follow-up. And he says, yes, sir. And begins to handle follow-up. That Holy Ghost inside of him, because he has yielded to the instruction given to him by the church, we release some more ability in that direction for him. You know what I'm saying? Look at Minister MJ and say, take charge of the children church. Now, before I have said this before, I have never known whether she has ever taught children in her life or not. I don't know. Have you? Okay, I didn't know. I don't know anything. If I say it all the time. The day I called, I said people that wanted to teach children ministry should show up. She didn't show up.
Well, partly because she was a minister and all of that, so maybe I wasn't expecting them to come. But after, when I went home to pray, the Lord said, it is her. And I said, okay, you get there and begin to serve them. And the grace for that came. Now, if she had not got there, that grace, the Holy Ghost lives in her, but it will not get an expression. Are you following me now? That's just how it works. And, you know, I look at another person, I said, they are now in charge of sales. Their wisdom to do anything is beginning to come. That's why you must recognize, as I close, whatever you've been asked to do in God's house, there's a grace for it. And just by obeying and stepping into that assignment, something is already working in your life. I want to close by saying, be aware of it. That you are not serving without any grace. You are not serving without the anointing. Yes, you can grow yourself in the anointing. You can get better. But just that you step into the office, that's a grace. That's why if you are here, you are not yet serving in this place. You should hurry up with your PhD class so that you begin to serve. But when you step into your office, certain graces begin to walk upon your life. If you are here, you are not yet serving. Or if you are here, if I told you the PhD class, but you are not serving. That's why there are some things that, some abilities that God has put in you that have not yet manifested. When you get into the place of your calling, the place of your service, the place of your assignments, some things will gain expression. I get to the point. Imagine if I wasn't a pastor. Who would have known that I can do everything I'm doing now? Who would have known? So I'm not going to be a pastor. I'll just be going up and down doing my own thing. Who would have known? There are many of you sitting on dangerous graces because you've not released yourself to ministry. You're just sitting on it, suffocate. You are carrying so much, but then you've not stepped out. Now, what has God asked you to do in this house? And that's why every day we say, go evangelism. You have been sent. Once you obey, a grace goes with you too. You are not a generation leader, a grace comes with that. You are now in social team, a grace comes with that. Are you following what I'm talking about? Are you following me? You are now in social place, an anointing comes with that, an ability, an anointing, a grace. That will touch, it will touch your spirit, it will touch your face, it will touch your senses, it will touch your mind, it will touch everything. You're not beginning to think out new things. Sometimes you even make some decisions as a leader. Ask yourself, now me make this decision. I wise though. You're even wondering, where did I get all these wisdom, all of this? It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands. Thank God for the anointing. Thank Him. Lift your hands and your voice. Thank God for the anointing.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.